President Elias, I'd like to take roll. Commissioner Clay?
Present.
Commissioner Walker?
Present.
Commissioner Benedicto?
Present.
Commissioner Yanez?
Present.
Commissioner Yee?
Here.
Vice President Carter Overstone is en route. Commissioner Elias, you have a, I'm sorry, President Elias, you have a quorum. Also with us tonight, we have Assistant Chief David Lazar for the San Francisco Police Department and Acting Executive Director Jermaine Jones from the Department of Police Accountability.
Welcome, our two, well, one new face to the right. Haven't seen you up here. Yeah. Welcome.
Got a raise from Sergeant
Youngblood. Well, there you go. He is the man in charge. And we have a new returning superstar to our left. So welcome, everyone. Glad you could join us in the rain. Let's go ahead and get this party started.
One announcement. We are going to pull line item 1, line item 7, line item 11A, as well as from line item 3 consent calendar, we'll be pulling the donation from the POA from tonight's agenda.
11A we're pulling? You said 11A also?
11A as well, okay. Yes. All right, line item 2, general public comment. At this time, the public is now welcome to address the commission for up to 2 minutes on items that do not appear on tonight's agenda, but are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the police commission. Under police commission rules of order, during public comment, neither police, DPA personnel, nor commissioners are required to respond to questions to the public, but may provide a brief response. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in either of the following ways: email the secretary of the police commission at sfpd.commission@sfgov.org, or written comments may be sent via U.S. Postal Service to the Public Safety Building located at 1245 3rd Street, San Francisco, California, 94158. If you would like to make public comment, please approach the podium.
All right. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Douglas Stiles. I'm the executive director and CEO of Huckleberry Youth Programs. The staff from Huckleberry Youth Programs and our CARC program, Denise Coleman and Kisai Enriquez, were part of the amazing working group for revising and redeveloping the DGO 7.01. We are so grateful to be a part of this process and are eager for it to be processed through the legal team and then presented here at the commission by your December 4th meeting. This tool is a powerful resource to guide and ground officers when they are in the field and may interact with young people. The last DGO is a little outdated, and so the sooner we get the new DGO approved, the sooner we can get young people having more equitable experiences with officers. We look forward to continuing partnering with SFPD and JPD to get referrals for the community diversion and kick off our pre-arrest diversion programming. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and just to note, I think, thank you for all the work that you and Huckleberry do. They are a very, I think, reputable organization, and I'm very impressed with the work that they do. My understanding is that we're gonna calendar it in January.
Oh, in January, okay, thank you.
What, tentative.
And just for the record, many years ago, I served on that board.
Oh, you did?
I'm gonna research you a little bit more.
Uh-oh, be careful about that.
I'll also add to what President Elias said, the team from Huckleberry House was tremendously helpful in the DGO 7.01 working group, and we're very lucky to have their input and their service to the city. So thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for showing up.
All right,
tonight.
Thank you.
And there is no further public comment. Line item 3, consent calendar, receive and file, action, Safe Streets for All, third quarter 2024 update, SFPD's Family Code 628 quarterly report, and SFPD and DPA's SB 1421 and SB 16 monthly report.
Can I get a motion?
Motion to receive and file.
Second.
Thank you.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 3, please approach the podium. There's no public comment on the motion. Commissioner Clay, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Walker?
Yes.
Commissioner Walker is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yanez?
Yes.
Commissioner Yanez is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. Vice President Carter Overstone?
Yes.
Vice President Carter Overstone is yes. And President Elias?
Yes.
President Elias is yes. You have 7 yeses. Line item 4, Chief's Report, Discussion, Weekly Crime Trends and Public Safety Concerns. Provide an overview of offenses, incidents, or events occurring in San Francisco having an impact on public safety. Commission discussion on unplanned events and activities the chief describes will be limited to determining whether to calendar for a future meeting. Chief Lazar.
Good evening. Good evening, President Elias, Vice President Carter Oberstone, members of the commission, Acting Director Jones, members of the public, members of the department. I'm Assistant Chief David Lazar this evening. I'm filling in for Chief Scott, and I'll be reporting out on the chief's report. So to start off with crime, thankfully we are down this year, year to date, 30%, with almost 14,000 less incidences. Total violent crime is down 14%, with 693 less incidences. Overall, gun violence in our city this year is down 26%. What that translates to is 47 less shootings we've had so far year to date. And we are down 34% in homicides compared to 2023 with 31 homicides. And I just want to note for the commission and for the public, these are historic numbers for homicides that date back roughly to the 1960s in terms of having that low. One homicide is one way too many, but we've at least had less than we had last year at this point, which was about 48. We also have a clearance rate in homicide. Everyone is doing such a great job in this area with 83%. We had about an 85% clearance rate at this point last year. Still very high numbers for California and for our department. There were no fatal shooting incidences this week. I will describe, though, one that came through that's probably for the next reporting period that I want to talk with you about. And so for the shootings, and we'll talk about that in a moment. The vehicle break-ins, again, some historic lows. Last year at this point, we had over 18,000 reported cars broken into. We'd see glass everywhere. This year so far, only 8,238, down about 10,000 reported auto burglaries. Very thankful for the work that everyone is doing there. In terms of gun seizures, which makes sense as it correlates to us having a tremendous reduction in shootings, so far this year, we've recovered 1,039 firearms. We're noticing that we're recovering less ghost guns, but overall, 1,039. We haven't seen numbers like this since 2018. In terms of some crime, we had one homicide on the 13th, our latest homicide of November, 5:36 in the morning at Market in Maine, where the victim was located in the middle of the street at Market in Maine. The fire department arrived along with us. Despite our attempts for life-saving measures, the person was deceased at the scene. There's no arrest yet. That investigation is ongoing. We had the one non-fatal shooting that I mentioned that I'll just talk about now. There was a shooting last night on the 1100 block of Hollister, where a suspect fired at a woman who was in a window. She is pregnant. She was hit in the stomach area, but thankfully the bullet missed the fetus, and both the mom and the baby are in stable condition right now. And I have no update on any arrests to this point. Moving on to property crime, we had a commercial burglary that occurred in Union Square on the 11th. We're starting to see quite frequently now where suspects are driving vehicles into commercial establishments, whether it's a dispensary, whether it's a high-end store or other types of stores. So we had one at 2:42 in the morning on October 11th where the suspects drove in and then they drove off at a high rate of speed. Thankfully, the Union Square officers were there. They saw it as the suspects were coming out. The suspects fled the scene, and they were lost in the area. So based on an investigation on November 1st, we had probable cause to arrest a 24-year-old suspect on that case and some other cases. So there was a good arrest there. Just also for note, you know, on a monthly basis, we have what's called a crime community strategies meeting in operations, similar to the term CompStat, but we do it differently. It's more like seminar style. Yesterday, we had all the operations command staff and captains in a room. We were talking about strategies for these overnight cars driving into businesses and just really collaborating and coming up with plans that we all can get on the same page with on how to deal with it. Moving on, there was an arrest of a burglary crew, 15th in Vermont on the 7th of November at 3:00 in the morning. Bayview officers responded to a liquor store based on a burglary in progress. Suspects broke down the front gate, stole merchandise and cash, and then they fled. We believe the vehicle was involved in an earlier burglary in the Mission. The officers attempted to stop the vehicle. The vehicle drove off at a high rate of speed and crashed on Highway 101 near the 7th Street exit. Officers observed the suspect jumped off the freeway overpass and land approximately 40 feet down onto 15th and Vermont. A firearm and magazine were located near the suspect, and the suspect was arrested. We also link that suspect to some other burglaries, as mentioned. And then the last arrest I just want to talk about before a couple last things is in October, we had a multi-agency effort on narcotics, which included the SFPD Narcotics Unit, the Sheriff's Office, the DEA, and the Army National Guard. We conducted an investigation on a narcotics trafficker who sells narcotics in the Tenderloin. We had probable cause was developed to obtain a search warrant for the suspect and the vehicle in Oakland. On the 13th of November, we observed the suspect in the lower Nob Hill area, parked at California and Polk. We had a foot pursuit with that suspect who threw some narcotics down and some other items. We took that suspect into custody and executed a search warrant in Oakland, which resulted in about 68 grams of fentanyl, 101 grams of methamphetamine, 237 grams of cocaine, 82 grams of fentanyl pills, 5 grams of heroin, and about 6,000 in U.S. currency. So it was just a great arrest, great investigation. The last case I want to just mention is we had an officer-involved discharge. I'm sure you're aware of on the 15th of November at 10:50 in the morning at Ellis and Fillmore. Officers responded to a report of three dogs fighting. They observed one of the dogs actively attacking a pedestrian. Shortly thereafter, an officer-involved discharge occurred where one of the attacking dogs was fatally struck. Within the vicinity, a second dog was corralled and taken into custody with the assistance of animal care and control. A foot pursuit ensued for several blocks while officers were attempting to detain the third dog. During the interaction, an officer discharged their firearm. Animal care and control were able to place the dog into custody. The pedestrian was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, and the owner of the dog that was attacked transported their dog to a veterinarian hospital for medical evaluation. This was a very chaotic scene. The officers actually witnessed an individual who I've seen the photos was being bit by two dogs on each arm, and the officers were doing what they could to attempt to resolve it. They were using less lethal. They were doing everything that they could and then resorted to discharging their firearm in order to save the life of the person that was being mauled. Okay, and then the last thing I just want to mention, just for context, in terms of DMACC, the effort in the Tenderloin, as of between 11/3 and 11/17, we made 54 arrests in the Tenderloin during that period of time. We seized 864 grams of narcotics, specifically 245 grams of fentanyl, and thankfully we've had less overdose deaths this year reported. I'm very thankful for the effort of all the officers and also all our partners with DMACC and for the work that we're doing.
You could probably tell the public what DMACC stands for.
Yeah, so DMACC is the Drug Market Agency Coordination Center. We kicked it off at the end of May in 2023, and it's our collaboration between all our partners, city, local, state, and federal, in an effort to save lives and combat the narcotic sales in the Tenderloin. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Quick question for you on the shooting in District 10. I know you said you don't have any arrests yet, but do you know if that was an isolated incident or an intentional?
We believe that that was an isolated incident, and our investigation's ongoing right now.
Okay. Okay. You wowed the crowd, and there are literally no questions in the queue for you. Amazing.
Or I put them to sleep, one or the other. Yeah.
Madam President, you're here tonight.
You wowed. I'm going to go with you wowed them. So, Sergeant?
For any member of the public who would like to make public comment regarding line item 4, the Chief's report, please approach the podium.
Good evening. I'm just here again to talk concerning my son, Aubrey Abracasa, who was murdered August 14, 2006. Today, I'd like to use the overhead. This is my son, Aubrey Abracasa. and I am looking for an email that finally I got a message from the mayor's office for Dean Preston. Finally, the name for my son has come in for the 1500 block of Grove Street. And that is what the street name is going to be. So they're looking at December 4th or December 11th for that sign to be unveiling. And I'd like to invite everyone here. This has been a Thanksgiving for me and a Christmas for me that finally this name is going to be put up on the 1500 block of Grove Street, and hopefully that other mothers and fathers will see this and be inspired and look up and probably fight for their children as well. So I would like to invite everyone in. The name, it says, I just wanted you guys to see it's beautiful. I am so happy about this. I just can't wait for the 4th or the 11th, and hopefully some of you can come and support. I'd really like to have you there. I'm still going to come and talk about my child. I'm not leaving, and this is not going to stop me, though, but it's something after 18 years, and I'm still looking forward to the, you know, James Carter Overstone to help with the tipsters, hopefully before the year is out. Thank you.
Thank you and congratulations on that. Please send the invitation to the commission staff so that they can ensure that we receive it.
Thank you. Line item 5, DPA Director's Report, discussion, report on recent DPA activities and announcement. Acting Director Jones.
You're up. Spotlight's on you, sir.
All right. Good evening, President Elias, Commissioners, and AC Lazar. I'll be brief. So our award-winning audit division has finished with the report and sent a copy over to SFPD for review and response.
Multi-award.
And we have asked for a response date of December 10th. Our investigations and legal division visited the new CIT location over at Park Station and met with now Captain Jonas. Our office has opened 24 new cases and closed 26 since the last commission meeting. Neglect of duty has made up the largest share of allegations since the last meeting. We currently have 20 cases that have been open for more than 270 days, but 19 of those are told. For our sustained cases, pending final adjudication, we currently have 107 cases sustained by DPA that are pending with the chief. That's a reduction from last commission meeting where there were 120, and we have 5 pending with the police commission. We have senior investigator Brent Bajan in the audience if anyone has questions, and we can be reached at 415-241-7711. And that concludes my remarks.
Wow, I think you may be the award winner in terms of time. Couple questions for you. The audit that you sent over to SFPD, that's due, the response is due by December 10th, and then will you be presenting it to the commission or?
Once our office receives the report back, the director will finalize the report and publicly post it and then wait for your agendizing.
Is that enough time for you, given the holidays? Because did you just turn over the report to the department? Or?
I believe Director Flaherty had the exit conference last week, last Friday.
I would say because of the holidays, it would be good to just go a little longer on the response.
Why don't you circle back with them just to ensure if we have to give some, because we have one meeting in December, so I'm hoping that we can get it all done and then have it first fresh and ready for our January meeting.
Okay, I'll circle back with the director.
Okay. Other question is, you said neglect of duty is the number one allegation. Does that include body-worn camera violations? Or is that a separate category? I can't remember.
So body-worn camera allegations aren't listed on our initial allegation sheet. This is just allegations that come from the public. So here, I believe the highest was failure to properly investigate and failure to properly care for, book, or process property. So those were kind of the on the higher end.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Vice President Carter Overstone.
Acting Director Jones, thanks for the report. I guess I just wanted to ask what the anticipated timeline is for after you receive SFPD's comments or responses on the audit. What is the finalization process look on DPA's end?
From my understanding, the director turns that around pretty quickly. I'd say within days if he doesn't have to change anything.
Thanks.
You wowed us, but we had questions. Sergeant?
For any member of the public who would like to make public comment regarding line item 6, please approach the podium. And there is no public comment. Line item 8, presentation and discussion on SFPD and DPA and DPA's Sparks Report, third quarter 2024 discussion.
Sorry. All right, good evening, President Elias, Commissioners, Chief. My name is Chris Delgandio. I'm the semi-new commanding officer of the Policy Development Division. Been there a couple of months now. I'm here to discuss the Quarter 3 Sparks Report as required by Police Commission Resolution 27-06. This covers specific information about policy updates that occurred between July 1st and September 30th of this year. I just wanted to note on the first page there was a duplicate entry, lines 7 and 6 and 7 are duplicate, so we actually have 28 updates instead of the 29 that are listed. 11 items relate to DGO updates initiated by the 2024 annual review list approved by President Elias back in February. 12 items address DGO updates that carried over from 2023 prior to the Policy Development Division being established. And 5 items relate to Prop E mandated updates. After the close of quarter three, DGOs 5.01, 5.03, 5.04, 5.05, and 5.06 were all issued to members. While not required, the report does provide an update on working group activity that took place during quarter three. Our next steps for PDD we compiled the 2025 annual review list for the DGOs for the chief to review. We hope to get over to President Elias by mid-December or so for approval by January. That's all I have. I'm happy to take questions after DPA presents. Thank you.
Let's see. So in the third quarter of 2024, our work focused primarily on working groups. One thing I've attached for the commission was a report that our office put together on DGO 5.20. Happy to announce that the DGO 5.20 working group has been working pretty collaboratively, and I think we may have had our second to last meeting yesterday. We got through amendments on the entire general order. It's been a very collaborative process, and been really happy to work with Hitesh in the PDD department, as well as Steve Betts and the subject matter expert, Officer Guerin, who the department put in charge of this process. I'm also on the sexual assault working group with Commissioner Benedicto, and that is moving forward. The department has stacked that working group with a lot of experts from around the city, too many to name. It's a pretty big group, and I'm very impressed by everyone's knowledge there. Outside of the working group participation, our office has sort of modified how policy interacts with the teams, the investigative teams. And so I'm called into cases a lot earlier when we believe there's a policy failure. And I work with the team and SFPD subject matter experts to try to write a report that helps move policy along. One case I wanted to spotlight was from one of the teams. They had a complaint from a victim of swatting, and As some may be aware, swatting is the act of making fraudulent 911 calls to provoke an armed response by police. The police department, we determined, did not have any guidance on swatting calls, though the subject matter expert that we talked to was aware of swatting. So we provided SFPD with a memo that was circulated by the federal government, as well as information on how other cities have attempted to mitigate swatting. This is sort of outside of the standard policy making process, so we'll be circling back with them in the future to try to help write some guidance for officers. And finally, I've been attending a lot of the COPS DOJ trainings just to make myself aware of emerging policy issues. Some of the classes I've taken recently are related to LEP. It's how I ended up finding the COPS portal, looking into LEP issues. They have a really great community policing course. It's actually three courses, all pretty solid. They have a good course on use of drones by public safety agencies. And then the final one was vehicular pursuits. That concludes my remarks.
The DOJ classes that you take, are those available to officers? I'm not familiar with.
Yes. So the DOJ COPS office has a portal, and it has, I think it's around 100 different trainings, all different areas. It's open to the public, so you can take it, officers can take it, and it just enhances your knowledge around best practices. There are some that would probably be very relevant to the officers, so if they're interested, they can take it.
Can you send that the link or website to the commission office so we can post it on the commission website?
Yes.
For the public to take a look at?
Will do.
AC Lazard, do the officers utilize that portal, or is that incorporated in the post-training they receive or the ongoing training they receive?
Yeah, we don't. We haven't mandated officers to use the DOJ portal. It's just one of many resources they have to go for information. Generally speaking, we either mandate training, and most times it's through our continued professional training, but it's always good to let the officers know what's available, especially the information that you're describing is very timely. So I think it'd be good to look at.
Do they update it often?
They do. I think the course on pursuit management came out last week. I get email notifications from COPS DOJ when they put out a new course, so I take the ones I'm interested in or that are relevant.
And you took the vehicle pursuit policy?
Yes.
It'll be interesting to have. Well, maybe we should agendize a report on how the DOJ recommendation deviates or coincides with Prop E.
I'd be happy to write something for you.
Vice President Carter-Oberstone.
Thank you, President Elias, and thanks to Acting Director Jones and Captain Delgandio for that report. Just one question for the department. I'm looking at the table that you provided, item number 24, which is on the second page, DGO 5.18. It says that post-concurrence edits were completed in late September, and I'm just wondering what the status of that DGO is.
I believe it's scheduled for December 4th.
December 4th, before this commission?
Yes.
And can I just ask not about any specific DGO, but just a general question, now that the policy unit is under your supervision, which is, we've seen some pretty divergent approaches to interpreting 3.01, the policymaking process, depending on who's in charge. Under Director Arroche, there was kind of an understanding that was shared by pretty universally that under 3.01, when 3.01 is basically a cookbook, and when one step ends, the next step begins. Whereas under Ms. Steve's supervision, we were introduced with a radically different interpretation of 3.01, which was that if it's not explicitly clear, the department can take as long as it likes in between steps. And now that you've had a couple of months to settle in, I'm just curious to hear where you fall on that spectrum.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. 301, you know, it's kind of like our Bible. I read it almost once a week and still try and interpret it as best I can. So, you know, we're going to follow the policy. I know there's a revision it's up for revision again. So depending what happens with that, and we'll go along with that. But, you know, got to follow the policy that's in play now. So.
All right. Understood. Thank you.
Good answer. Thank you. I think Vice President Carter Oberstone is going to be hot off the presses with his draft soon. So we will definitely have it before us. All right, Sergeant.
For members of the public that would like to make public comment, please approach the podium. All right, and there is no public comment. Excuse me, commissioners, I inadvertently skipped number 6. I will circle back. Line item 6, commission reports, discussion and possible action, commission president's report, commissioner's reports, and commission announcements and scheduling of items identified for consideration at a future commission meeting.
Thank you. I don't think it was inadvertent, Sergeant, but in any event, we have one meeting left for the end of the year. It'll be December 4th, and then we will be dark, consistent with the Board of Supervisors' schedule. I would encourage all commissioners to fill out the purple binder to make sure that any agendized items are written down so that Sergeant Youngblood can work on them and get our agendas going so that when we come back January 1st, we can hit the ground running. Commissioner Benedicto.
Thank you, President Elias. Just two quick items for my report. One is earlier this month, I attended the 30th anniversary of the death of Officer James Gelf. I know that Assistant Chief Lazar was there as well. Members of the family, as well as officers that served with Officer Gelf, were also there. There were a number of moving things. His granddaughter, his children spoke. I think the one thing that I think really was a takeaway for me that I wanted to share with the commission and the public is that Officer Gelf's brother really channeled the grief and loss of the family into advocacy and advocated with state legislatures and with Congress to pass laws to restrict access of weapons of war like body armor, because in that specific incident it was body armored assailant with an automatic weapon who had the SFPD significantly outgunned. And so to see something productive come out of that terrible tragedy was really something inspiring to see. And the second thing that I wanted to note for my report is I'll be putting it in the purple folder to agendize early next year in light of the January 20th inauguration of the new president. I think that SFPD needs to take a hard look at its current collaborations with the federal government. I know in 2016, there was a concerted effort to disconnect with certain federal task forces that felt that were in opposition to San Francisco's principles or other policies such as sanctuary city policies. I know a lot of those connections were rebuilt in the last 4 years, and I think I want the SFPD to be ready for if there are things that are incompatible with San Francisco's policies and principles. And so I'd like a report in early January before the inauguration on those various pieces of federal cooperation and what potential sort of plans are in place by the department for that. Thank you.
And given the holidays that are coming up and scheduling, AC Lazar, can you get that report or get a tentative draft to Commissioner Benedicto before mid-December?
The answer is yes. However, I believe if I understood the intent of the report, it's for us to do an evaluation of the federal partners and the federal agencies and what some of their policies are and how they intertwine with us. And I believe we'd have to see what evolves and then be able to report back, unless you want to report now about how things work now?
Yeah, I think what I'd like to see in the preliminary report is what partnerships are in place now.
Okay, understood.
And what impact would there be if those partnerships had to be dissolved on the SFPD side? So in some cases, do we have a unilateral right under an MOU? In some cases, is it not? Are there funding implications for some partnerships? Are there not funding implications for others? It's just so I think that the commission, the department, and members of the public can sort of see what their current state is and what the implications would be, regardless of whether, you know, we ended up keeping or dissolving some of them, just so we know where we're at.
Okay,
I think it would be also helpful to highlight for us which collaborations you have with the federal government may conflict if the new administration takes a stance that doesn't coincide with our sanctuary cities, our immigration policies currently in place. So if you can highlight that for us to let us know which ones may would diverge with respect to our philosophies on sanctuary city and immigration, that would be helpful too.
Okay, understood, will do. And we can make our timeline December 15th.
I think another thing, this I imagine would be easy, but if there were partnerships that we have that we know for a fact we did stop in 2016, like I think those would be at the top of the list of things that might be at risk of being stopped again and probably some low-hanging fruit. Like I know there were some specific task forces that we stopped cooperating with. So if those could sort of be at the top of the list as in 2016 we stopped cooperating with this task force, or that would be helpful as well.
Okay.
I'd like to agendize first week of January.
Okay, understood.
Is there already a list that we had before? So yeah. You'll reconstruct that list and provide us with what we had in 2006, and then after that, whatever the flow is.
Yeah, we'll have to update it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Sergeant.
For any member of the public that would like to make public comment, please approach the podium. And there is no public comment. Line item 9, public comment on all matters pertaining to item 11 below closed session, including public comment on item 10, a vote whether to hold item 11 in closed session. If you would like to make public comment, please approach the podium. And there's no public comment. Line item 10, a vote on whether to hold item 11 in closed session, San Francisco Administrative Code section 67.10D, action.
Motion.
Motion to go into closed session.
Second.
All right, on the motion, Commissioner Clay, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Walker?
Yes.
Commissioner Walker is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yanez?
Yes.
Commissioner Yanez is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. Vice President Carter Oberstone?
Yes.
Vice President Carter Oberstone is yes. And President Elias?
Yes.
President Elias is yes. You have 7 yeses. We are going to closed session.
Team, can we?
SFGovTV. San Francisco Government Television. SFGovTV, San Francisco Government Television.
My name is Manny Lieres. I come from both the Navajo and Comanche tribes. I'm honored to be here this evening as the MC for tonight's event. Before we get started officially, I want to go ahead and read a land acknowledgement that was put together by the indigenous people of this area called Yalamu in the Ramaytu Ohlone language. So it says, we acknowledge that we are on the unceded ancestral homelands of the Ramaytu Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush, American Indian community, have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten the responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as the peoples who reside in Ohlone traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homelands. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors and relatives of the Ramaytu people and thank them for allowing us to be here in their territory. At this time, I need I don't know if there is a portable or a handheld microphone. Right on, I got the cue. So I'm gonna bring a microphone down. I'm gonna ask one of our community elders, his name is Tom Phillips, to come out to the middle here. He's gonna offer a traditional blessing. I'm gonna bring him a microphone at this time. Check, 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 check one, check two. So as I was bringing this microphone down, Tom had said, it's going to be a couple more minutes, a couple seconds, as he adorns himself in the headdress that he's earned the right to carry and to wear, and his gourd sash that if you ever catch him at a powwow, I'm sure he'll explain exactly what and why these are the way they are. Without further ado, folks, I'd ask you to please rise as we offer a prayer this evening as I turn the microphone over to Mr. Tom Phillips.
Thank you, Manny. It's kind of a poignant time to come together here at the celebration, the award ceremony, knowing that our mayor will be leaving us. You know, it's kind of with a sad heart that she's been behind the driving force for bringing us together, and we hope that her successor will continue this effort in our community. Is much needed over the years to be recognized, the indigenous community here in San Francisco. We have a beautiful history back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It was a relocation center for the Bureau of Indian Affairs to bring our Indian people into the community to find work and opportunities. So we appreciate all the efforts that Mayor London has provided for us through her staff and through the her representation. We just appreciate that. Let's go to our Creator. As Native people, before we begin anything that we do, we offer prayer. We don't separate church and state. It's one and the same. So I'm going to offer a prayer. My Creator, we call upon you at this time to be with us. Creator, we thank you. We are grateful for the years of service of the mayor. We ask you to continue to bless her road as she journeys forward. Bless and be with her. Give her what she needs, and we appreciate all the assistance she has provided our community for all of the ones that have been honored through this award ceremony. We thank our singers for being here, the voices for the songs that we render to celebrate this award and this honor. We thank you for the singers that provide the music for us. We thank you for our master of ceremonies for the introduction of the honorees. We thank you for the committee that are in the background taking care of the refreshments and the food and everything that will be a part available to us. We thank you for this opportunity. And we more than that, we thank you for those individuals being honored tonight, for their service, their dedication, for their involvement in our communities as we continue to lift them up to you, Creator, that you would take care of them in a good way, that you would provide their needs, and you continue to serve, may they continue to serve our communities. We ask you to be with our audience as we receive the information about the individuals that are here. We ask you to be with our dancers that will share their talents and abilities to come and share with us tonight. We thank you for this day set aside for this occasion. We thank you for all that will be celebrated here this evening. We ask all these things. It's at the uncompeted dog, you dog about dog side on my whole day on day. Amen.
All right, so you can all go ahead and remain standing. I know you all thought I was going to say go ahead and take a seat. But what we're going to do now is we're going to have what's called our grand entry, which is a procession of powwow dancers accompanied by some singing. We have the All Nation Singers. We have Soek Style representing both the northern and southern plains. As Tom had mentioned in his beautiful prayer, that in those programs to bring our traditional communities from our traditional homelands in other states and other regions of the state of California, what was created in that aftermath was a beautiful, vibrant, intertribal community, which means inter means multiple tribes. And so we all come together in these ways. And one of these ways that we do this is through our participation in powwows and other community events. So at this time, we're going to go on over to the All Nation Singers as we bring in our dancers. Take it away. Carrying in our Eagle staff, we have Mr. Randy Shirley of the Navajo and Tlingit Nations. Behind Randy, we have active service folks carrying in the United States Navajo Nation flag and other flags. Following our flags, we have our powwow royalty. This time, again, please remain standing as we go on over to So X Style to render what we call our flag song. And again, in the beginning, you saw Randy bringing out that eagle staff. That eagle staff was used on these lands long before any flags, any loyalties to any nations. It was a way to represent where we come from and who we are as indigenous people. So without further ado, So X Style. Thank you. Same drum. And now over to So X Style for a victory song. These songs here celebrate our triumph over different waves of genocide. Our people remain present today here in 2024 in the halls of San Francisco City Hall. Gives testament to the power of our culture. Gives testament to the power of our connection to our original homelands. Hoo-cha. All right, folks, now, for real, at this time, go ahead and remain standing. No, just kidding. Go ahead and sit down. You know, you're going to need to reserve some of your energy, because what I'm going to need everybody to do here in just a little bit is to make some noise for the amazing staff and staff and team over at the American Indian Cultural Center. It is with much respect that I invite up the executive director of the American Indian Cultural Center, Miss April McGill. Everybody, put your hands together for April McGill. I was going to call them all out separately, like at 6-2. Just kidding. But I'm going to turn the microphone over to April. She'll talk a little bit about herself, or maybe a lot about herself, and a little bit about her staff, or vice versa. So again, please, folks, please, please, please put your hands together for Miss April McGill.
Oh, Yahweh. Yahweh, everybody, good evening. It's so good to see everyone. This has been a really exciting day for our staff, because this event is really special to us. It's a time when we really honor our community and all of the great things that our community does. And I think that's the best thing about this event, because there's so many things that are happening in the world that are affecting us, and there's a time that we can come together and really celebrate our community, celebrate each other. So I don't want to talk too much, because I want to hand it over to our team to introduce themselves. I'm the executive director of the American Indian Cultural Center. I'm also an enrolled member of Round Valley, Mishwa, Wapo, and Yuki. And so I wanted to have my staff introduce themselves.
Guwatsi Halba. I am Araceli Garcia-Pontier, and I am the program manager with the American Indian Cultural Center, and I'm from the Pueblo of Acoma.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Klinker. I'm Navajo. I'm from San Francisco, and I am the program coordinator for American Indian Cultural Center.
I think it's really important to really highlight our young people, especially Araceli and Michael. Both of them are new, up-and-coming young leaders in the community. The American Indian Cultural Center, we would not be able to put on these events in the community if it wasn't for Araceli's leadership as our program manager. So can we please give it up for Araceli? I've known Michael since he was really little, coming into the Friendship House Youth Program, Native American Health Center Program, Indian Ed Program, and it's so great that we get to hire our youth and that come in through programs and now are working out of organizations. So Michael is our program coordinator, and he does a lot of the community outreach. He does a lot of setup and really bringing our community in, because he knows everybody. He has so much family in this community. So I'm just really grateful for Michael, and I want to give some gratitude to Michael as well. Like I said earlier, there's just been a lot going on as we just got through an election here, and there has been some feelings of just, I'm really trying not to be sad, because I feel like as Native people, we've always been so resilient through so many challenges that we've had through our community. One thing I always share is that our people have survived boarding school, they've survived genocide, and we're still here. And it's through this community here in San Francisco, it's through the support of our city and county partners and our Native organizations like the Native American Health Center. Can I have leaders of the Native American Health Center please stand if you're here in the room? I'd love to applaud those leaders that are doing this work for our clients. I see Michelle Moss. Can I have her? She is a leader. She's our elder. I know Aurora Mamiya will be here later. We also have, I see Michelle Antone sitting there as well. We also have Friendship House as one of our partners who we, again, could not do this event with. A lot of the clients come and volunteer their time at all of our events, and so we're so grateful to have that partnership with Friendship House. And Friendship House is currently building the village here in the American Indian Cultural District, and it's going to be an amazing building that is going to house our young women and children, our medical and dental, and our youth program. And so we're just really grateful to be able to support Helen's vision of the Friendship House. And if there are any of those leaders here, can you please stand up? I do see Peter Bratt. And I see Dawila. So it's through these partnerships that we've been able to provide a lot of cultural programming for our community. Just recently, we partnered with the American Indian Cultural District on the Indigenized Project. So we were able to put in two beautiful murals within the cultural district with one of our native artists. I see Drew here somewhere. I'm not gonna point him out, but. It's just been really awesome for us to partner with our local artists, our California Indian artists, to create more visibility for our community here. And so it's through these projects that we're able to, you know, just continue to make sure that we have visibility for the American Indian community and that there is a space and that we are not pushed out. We're not pushed out by big businesses. We're not pushed out by the gentrification that's happening. And we also, I want to shout out to Bates. I just realized my relatives, Bates has a building too. Can I get the ED to stand up from Bates? Bates has a new space in the cultural district, providing cultural programming for our Two-Spirit relatives and the greater community. So thank you, Angel, for all that you do. So I'm just going to ask everybody if you could just get up on your feet real quick, because like I said earlier, we've been feeling a little down lately because of some of the politics that have been happening in our community. But it's not a time for us to be sad or, you know, that's just not how we are as Indian people. And I just feel like I want to give some props and some congratulations to our Mayor Breed for all the work that she has done for San Francisco. Try not to get emotional. I said tonight may be our last party here with our mayor, but you know what? She's not gonna go anywhere. You know, I'm gonna say it now because I see her as the next governor. I see her in the Senate. I see her all over California. She has done so much for the American Indian community. She has done more than any mayor, and that's no disrespect to anyone, but she just continued to elevate the American Indian community by advocating for the cultural district, by advocating for the village, by advocating for more funding with the health center, and for all of the different Arts Commission grants that we're able to provide cultural programming for. And she understands what our needs are and how important it is for us to provide the services that we do for the American Indian community. And so we stand with her as our relative, as our partner, as our sister, that we're going to elevate her because she has done so much for us. And we're sad. It's like when your best friend moves away and you get a little sad, but you know they're not going to go away. We're still going to see them. And so it's my honor to have worked with you. And it's my honor to introduce Mayor London Breed.
All All right. Have a seat, everybody. Have a seat. First of all, thank you so much, April, for the love and for today's special celebration that is desperately needed in light of what we know has been a very challenging year. But what I am really excited about is how this community comes together, not only for this celebration here at City Hall, but for incredible opportunities that we know will continue to ensure that no matter who the leader is of this city, that this community is supported, protected, and uplifted, and it has everything to do with your voices and your advocacy. When I first became mayor of San Francisco, you know, many of the things that I wanted to do had a lot to do with addressing disparities because of my own personal experience. And I always appreciated the opportunity to appoint someone who's a part of this community to the Board of Supervisors, Valley Brown, who's joining us here today as well. We have been able to make financial investments to address issues around health disparities, issues related to supporting and uplifting young people, the arts, and all of the things that were really many of the things that you all did every day to ensure that the history and the culture of the community was protected and supported. And we know that is needed now more than ever as we continue to make sure that a home is identified and purchased for the American Indian Cultural Center, as we continue to look at the village as a new hub of inspiration and support, as we continue to make sure that the event on Alcatraz is recognized and acknowledged and invested in. We know all of these things play an important role in not just talking about Indigenous people, but acknowledging and respecting Indigenous people to this land. Tonight, City Hall will be lit up in the colors that you have chosen, and recognizing just tonight's celebration of uplifting and spirituality, I want to really thank you for all the amazing ceremonies that you allowed me to participate in. I want to thank you for all the prayers and support that you continue to provide me with as I led this city. I want to thank you for being a spiritual inspiration to me and to the community for so many years, and know that even though this is my last year as mayor, I will continue to hold this community near and dear in my heart, and I thank you for the honor and the privilege of being a part of it. So on behalf of the City and County of San Francisco, we are going to officially recognize American Indian Cultural Center Day in our city. Let's celebrate. Also have certificates recognizing the incredible leadership of the honorees for tonight. Congratulations, and again, thank you all.
And they handed me all four of those envelopes. I was like, geez, I know I'm cool, but I don't know about four envelopes cool. All right. So our first honoree this evening is Roger Kuhn. Dr. Roger Kuhn is a Porch Creek Two-Spirit Indigiqueer Soma cultural therapist, educator, writer, activist, and musician. Roger's work explores the concepts of decolonizing and unsettling sexuality and focuses on the way culture impacts and informs our bodily experiences. He is a board member of the Bay Area American Indian Two-Spirit Powwow and has been a community organizer of the Bates Powwow and a board member of the Two-Spirit and Native LGBTQ+ Center for Equity. His first book, Soma Cultural Liberation, is available in both paperback and audio. His music can be streamed on all digital platforms at, check it out, everybody, plug this into your phone or start to record now, www.rogerkuhn.com or www.rogerjkuhn.com. Without further ado, Roger Kuhn. Our next honoree, Joey Montoya. Joey Montoya, Lipan Apache, is a multimedia artist, fashion designer, and entrepreneur whose work is aimed at redesigning and designing an inclusive world. He is the founder, creative director, and CEO of Urban Native Era, a fashion brand built to bring indigenous visibility through fashion and design. His designs can be seen on the show Reservation Dogs and are currently being sold at REI. He has been featured on ABC's localish series Unfiltered and mentioned in magazines like Cosmopolitan and Vogue. He was born and raised here in San Francisco, California, and holds a degree in advertising from San Jose State University. San Francisco, put your hands together for Joey Montoya.
Look, bud.
All right, commissioners, you are back in open session on line item 12, a vote to elect whether to disclose any or all discussion on item 11 held in closed session. San Francisco Administrative Code section 67.12A, action.
Motion to not disclose items in closed session.
Second.
All right, if any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 12, please approach the podium. Seeing none, on the motion, Commissioner Clay, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Walker?
Yes.
Commissioner Walker is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yanez?
Yes.
Commissioner Yanez is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. Vice President Carter Oberstone?
Yes.
Vice President Carter Oberstone is yes. And President Elias? Yes. President Elias is yes. You have seven yeses. Line item 13, adjournment.
Righty. So, good.
Hey, thank you.